listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
Give me your number, I'll call you up. You act like your pussy don't interrupt. I don't have no trouble with you fucking me, but I have a little problem with you not fucking me. Baby, you know I'ma take care of you, cause you say you my baby and I know it ain't true. Is it a good thing? No, it's bad, bitch. For good or worse, makes you switch. So I walk on over my crib style. Bitch, nigga, put away your piss styles. Dirty don't have it in his house, cause bitch, I cripple your style. Now that you heard my charming voice, you couldn't get another nigga who you won't get moist. And if you want to look good and not be bummy, girl, you better give me that money. Ow!
Hey,
dirty! Baby, I got your money. Don't you worry. I said, hey!
Baby, I got your money.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday. Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Big days, big things popping. What you can find is a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the air whenever we do our feedback show, which won't be this Saturday. We'll be traveling, but normally Saturday morning we do a feedback show, read all the 5-star reviews as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. Today's podcast is brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. Go to tweakedaudio.com, get you some nice headphones, y'all. Okay, it's Christmas time. Okay, not just in Harlem, but it's Christmas time everywhere. And you guys can get gifts. People are gonna be expecting them. One of the gifts that you can give a podcast listener or give yourself is the nice gift of headphones. They have various styles, the he gones, they got the Bluetooth kind. They got the kind of wrap around your ears. They got the in the ear headphones. You can just shop all of them there. You can get 33% off by putting in code TVGWT. Mm-hmm. They're already very low price, but then you get that discount plus free shipping, and they come with a lifetime warranty. So make sure you guys do that. tweakedaudio.com, code TVGWT to get all of the stuff I just said. Before we get started, I did want to announce that we have some big news for for podcast listeners. Big news to us. I know I was super excited to read this before the show. We got an email that says it was from Matt at Podomatic, who says, "Hi Rod and Karen, great news. We just started working with Spotify and they've asked us to submit some of our favorite podcasts from Podomatic for their directory. We submitted yours and you were one of the podcasters approved. You're now officially on Spotify. Congratulations. Please help us by spreading this news, by sharing this link," which I'll do later, "through your social media channels. Don't forget to mention Podomatic helped you get on Spotify," which I did.
Yep.
"If you have any questions, just let us know. We on Spotify, baby.
We on Spotify." So for those of you that got Spotify and you be like, "Well, God, I wish I could get Rod and Karen here too." You can, and guess what? You can download us on Spotify too, bitch.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely major news to us. We've been trying to get on there forever, but they had this weird setup. You had to be with a certain provider, a host, and we tried everything, and people have suggested, like, get on Spotify. But as with most suggestions when it comes to, you know, business, your business, you know more than normally the people suggesting. No offense to the people, you know, they have good ideas and they're hoping for the best. But definitely submit it, and just they were like, "You can't do it," and now boom, we're in there.
Yeah, because they're not open. Most of the podcast catches that catch everything, they're kind of open.
Yeah, you submit a feed, right, and then they put you on there. Spotify was a little bit different, but we on that bitch now, y'all.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Oh man, I can't wait for y'all to be listening to us on Spotify, man.
I hope
you enjoy it.
Listen to your music and then flip over to us,
right? Of course, I know you guys are really here for the Walking Dead recap.
I know, right?
And we really don't have anything else we need to announce. Hopefully we see you guys at PodCon Saturday and Sunday, this upcoming Saturday and Sunday. Looking forward to it.
We are.
Was there anything else I wanted to bring up? I think that's it, guys. So let's break it down. Let's get into the Walking Dead recap. The name of this episode was Time for After. And it got only 7.5 million viewers, 7.47, which lowest of the season, and yeah, lowest in a long time.
Yeah, I truly think, in my opinion, when it comes to this show, a lot of people stopped watching and they just never came back. I think that they underestimated several things. I think that they underestimated how many fans actually really loved Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their numbers really started dipping once Glenn left. Like, he was literally a fan favorite. And so I think that's kind of what that downward trend started. I hope they continue on, because I want to see where it goes and, you know, where it could go in the future. Because, like I said, it's one of my personal favorite shows, but I don't think you're ever going to get the high that you had at one period of time, because, like we said before, a lot of people who watch the show, they want something happy, and this is not a quote-unquote happy show. You have happy moments, but the show is not happy.
Well, I think they also just think it's stupid, and they think the people are stupid and the writing is stupid, right, and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have something to say about that, okay? I've been thinking about this for a while, and I couldn't put my finger on it until today when I found the words for it. For anyone who's ever managed a Facebook group of more than five people, The Walking Dead is the most realistic writing of human beings on a TV show probably in history. I'm not even exaggerating. I'm thinking of every show I've ever watched. It's like herding cats dealing with these motherfuckers. So, and we'll talk about it in this episode. Someone's always changing their mind. Someone's always mad at somebody else. You come up with these plans. Motherfuckers get petty. They don't give a fuck about your plans. When it comes to everybody's individual revenge, that shit always trumps the group. And then when the motherfucker get a little religion, when they learn, like, hey man, this is a stupid ass path to risk everybody's life for, then all of a sudden they don't want to let other people risk their life. So now you got a bunch of fucking hypocrites dealing with each other. You know, motherfuckers put everything except for the well-being of the group ahead of, you know, and then they look to like one person to solve everything. And, you know, and I think for a person that already kind of like views humanity as a quagmire all the time, like I'm always looking at even the people I love, I'm like, everybody got some shit about them, including me. Everybody got some hypocrisy in them. Everybody got some pettiness in them. Everybody's got it. And when you're responsible for writing a show, these aren't soldiers, these aren't well-oiled machines, like essentially they all have separate motivations. And I think this show is really good at giving people motivations, whether we decide that they're nonsensical or not. And right. One of the things they've gotten over that I don't hear people talking about, but they've skipped the kind of PTSD trope that they used to have of, cause you know, now it's been what, 7 seasons, I guess. Mm-hmm. People have kind of adjusted, this is the way life is.
Come on.
But they used to be a thing, but also, you know, traumatic events happen. That happens to people in real life. They don't work the way you want them to.
Right.
Carol almost dies and has a reset back to like, oh, I could have died out there. You know, Ezekiel fakes it till he makes it, and all these people follow him like the Hotep King. I mean, tell me how that's any different from the delusional ass niggas on Facebook following motherfuckers. And like, it just kind of reminds me of life, where I'm like, and I think that's where a lot of people get frustrated and shit on the show. I'm like, but that's what people do.
Yeah, you know, yes, the fuck, that is what people do. People are unorganized. People don't follow instructions. People make dumb decisions.
People always say this one. Well, they have the same discussions on the show all the time. Nigga, you had the same discussion on Facebook every day. You had the same discussions on Twitter. I see the same fucking discussions pop up in my life every day on social media. I actually instituted a rule of, I'm not going to care about this in 24 hours. I have nothing to say. Like, nothing deep. I'm not dedicating any time to who's on the cover of Time magazine, because I won't give a fuck about that shit on Thursday. By the time we get to Thursday, I'm already like, who gives a fuck about that? So I'm not dedicating any time on social media to that kind of shit, because it don't matter. You know, it's not like I remember that 3 years from now. Like, remember that cover of Time? Like, who the fuck cares who's on the cover of Time or People or whatever, who won this award or that? Some of this shit don't really matter.
Mm-mm.
In the scheme of things. And I see people at each other's throat. I see people mad. I see people subtweeting each other. You know, once you see how people fight, you can't unsee it. You see people making decisions just for the attention. You see people making decisions because they feel like this is important to them and stuff like that. Like, but you just see that people are a mess. Like, people aren't organized. They're just all going like straight bullets in their own directions.
Right.
I think this show encapsulates that more than any other fucking show I've ever seen. Like, if it's frustrating, it's because people are frustrated.
Yes, they are.
People do crazy shit all the time. You're like, what the fuck? Why'd you do that? Why'd you burn that bridge down? Couldn't help themselves. They a person, you know? Anyway, this episode is called Time for After. And it's only happens in two locations, the Junkdecons and the Savior Compound. I'll do the Savior Compound last because it's longest. This should be a pretty, I think, straightforward episode recap.
Yes, sir.
So we start with the Junkdecons. My main man, Rick Grimes, pretty Ricky, what they call him. Still in that container from last week. Remember they put him in that container in his drawers. I thought he was naked at first, but he was drawers. And they open up the container doors and the Junks is looking at him. It's like two guards on each, it's like a guard on each door, then another dude with a pencil and with some paper that he's drawing something on, like he's sketching something. And Rick's just standing there, and then Jadis has one of course an old-fashioned camera that every time you take the picture you have to throw the bulb away.
Right.
How is that still around in Z-Pop?
I have no idea. I don't know where the fuck she found that at.
Where'd they find them bulbs? I feel like she used their last two bulbs, because it was old school where like you big ass flash and then you throw the bulb on the ground. Like, you can't refill that.
Mm-mm. She found out when she found your grandpa's record player, too. I'm not talking about the new ones y'all bought. No, I'm talking about, like, the original one.
Right. But, yeah, so they, you know, Rick's standing there. Then they get ready to close the doors on him. And she stops him. And he turns around. And he's like, why the pictures? And then she says, sculpt you after. And then he's like, and then what? She was just like, after or some shit. And he was like, okay. Then they closed the container on him. And then the Walking Dead music theme started up. So, as always, we know Jadis just want to see Rick dick for some reason. She just into Rick.
She want a piece of him.
She has been sexually harassing this man.
Come on.
Like.
Honey, if he wanted to, he could hashtag me too.
He could. She should be getting fired from her job.
Come on.
For some sort of harassment. I can't imagine who else she's done that to.
I guess the junkies ain't got a human resource department.
Right. Later on, they take Rick, this is at the end of the episode, they take Rick out of the container, and they try to, of course, do what they did before, make him fight. Well, last time they made him fight one of them steampunk armor zombies, and he beat it barely, cutting his hand in the process and all this other shit, probably getting tetanus. So he ends up they're gonna execute him with a zombie. Now keep in mind, these niggas got guns, y'all. But they on some James Bond shit. I mean, look at these niggas. Of course they would have a poetic way of you getting eaten or some shit. And they take a zombie, and basically the zombie, imagine the zombie has armor over his eyes so it can't see. It looks like one of those Gears of Wars creatures, the big ones that, for those that play Gears of War, y'all know what I'm talking about. It has his eyes covered. I forget what it was called. Anyway, so the zombie's mouth isn't covered, but his eyes are. And they have a stick, like a mop almost, handle, attached to the back of his head, and they got it towards Rick. And they have his arms and legs, or arms tied up, but his legs aren't. And they push Rick down on the ground on his knees, and of course, he gets loose and goes full impossible white man.
Of course.
Beats them up with the stick, the two dudes that were trying to, you know, eat him, like.
While the zombie rotating around on the opposite side.
Right. Beats him up with the stick, then, doesn't even kill him, just knocks him out.
You get a two piece. Take some of this mop.
Then, fucking Jadis pulls out her gun, late as fuck. I'm like, why didn't you just shoot him in the back of the head? I mean, obviously, because the show don't want to kill Rick that way. But anyway, she gets the gun disarmed from her as Rick decapitates the fucking zombie by using the stick to pull the head from the neck. It was real gross. And they always had to have one super gross zombie thing every week. So then he drops the stick on the ground, and the zombie's head, of course, is still attached and still chomping, even though it can't, you know, has no body now. and Rick wrestles Jadis to the ground. The zombie head is like inches from her face, and then he makes her like surrender. She puts her hand up and tells all the people, all the other Junkticons who come streaming around the corner, she basically tells them to chill. And you know what I was thinking, right? Because I was like, why didn't they just kill Rick, right? That was one thing. The second thing I was thinking was, why wasn't everybody watching the execution of Rick? Because you would think that would be an event. It ain't much to do in the Z-Pop. They're probably still walking in that weird ass formation. But I realized this is what I was thinking. I think they kill certain people, turn them into the zombie, and then they do what they did to that zombie. Mm-hmm. Like put the armor on them and all that mm-hmm. shit. They was gonna do that shit to Rick. That's what I was thinking anyway.
And that would make sense. That's why they didn't just flat out shoot him in the head, because then they wouldn't, he wouldn't have been no good.
That's my guess. Yes. I mean, they didn't explicitly say that, but that's the only thing that makes sense. You want to let him get bitten, then what, you gonna put him back in the container, turn him, put some of that fucking chain metal on him or whatever the fuck? Mm-hmm. Weirdos. Anyway, she tells her people to back off with a fist signal, and they don't shoot him, and then he basically gives them the ultimatum again, which he did, of course, give them at the beginning, join us so you can die. And he's continued to say this, like, even though he's always looked like he about to die, he's in his mind, I'm fully in control, I'm an impossible white man, do it, I know I looks like y'all gonna kill me, but you ain't gonna do shit, join us or die. And so he gave her the ultimatum this time and said, all right, y'all made y'all choice, y'all don't want to join, we gonna attack you, my people gonna attack you, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, if I was y'all, you either could wait for us to attack or you can run. And so she decided, well, what if we join you right now? And he said, if you join me right now, we'll go to where the saviors are surrounded by the zombies. I showed y'all them pictures. Mm-hmm. And we'll make them and the lieutenant surrender. And I'm going to kill Negan, just me, nobody else. And then we'll have a deal. She said, well, then the savior things will be our things. Like, we want to take their shit. And he said, no, you can have a fourth.
Right.
And she's like, half. He's like, a fourth. And which, by the way, if you do the math on that, Alexandra gets a fourth, Hilltop gets a fourth, the Kingdom gets a fourth, mm-hmm. and the Junkticons get a fourth.
Right.
So are they gonna take everything from the saviors? I mean, it seems like the whole thing is they don't want to turn the workers there into enemies. So I wonder how that's gonna work, because if you do take all the shit from the Savior's compound, and they already supposedly running out of shit, right? You take all that shit, you got them people, them workers there that you wanted to recruit to your side, now they don't have nothing. Like, that's still an enemy then. Like, what they supposed to do? Just walk away? Like, no, nigga, we want our shit, you know?
Yeah, somebody brought up a good statement. They were probably gonna just take it over.
Okay.
So you wouldn't quote unquote be taking away.
Yeah, and now it don't sound like the saviors have a lot of shit anymore. According to several other things happening this episode. Don't sound like they have a lot. But
well, we'll if they see. Do is scattered.
Yeah, right? Maybe in those mm-hmm. in those outposts.
Right.
Which it seems have gone down at this point. Alright, so anyway, she said, well then we'll take a fourth, but you gotta let me sculpt you after. With them drawers off, she pointed to his underwear, like, take them off and then I'll sculpt you. And he said, no, take these ropes off, no sculpting, you get a fourth of their things and that's the final deal. And she said okay, but she really want to see that dick. She know he got a man. See, I mean, a woman,
she don't care.
See, this is what's happened. See, these white women be disrespecting these black queens. She know that Michonne is this man's woman and vice versa. And he is claim. And she be low-key disrespecting the fuck. Like, it's love and hip-hop. Love and zombies or some shit. I'ma just keep propositioning this man. A weaker man probably would have said yes, but I'm glad Rick Grimes got some integrity not to fuck that woman. What a terrible person.
She is.
So after that, they ride over to the compound. And it's funny because the saviors just have a theme, you know. They ride together all on the back of a big ass, dirty ass dump truck.
Yeah, they do.
Hey. That's the only thing that should have been. Only thing that could have been better is if the What's Happening music had played and one of them fell off the back and was bouncing the basketball, like rerun and shit. Anyway, these motherfuckers go over to the compound where the saviors are, and they don't go all the way up to it. They get to a lookout tower. It's a water tower where one of the snipers for the Hilltop and Alexandria and the Kingdom people is, he's up there. Rick sees a bunch of zombies by the base of the sniper tower, and of the water tower, and they're eating someone who's hanging off of a ladder,
right?
And it looks like it's one of the snipers that Rick and them had up there, and the zombies are eating them. Rick kills the zombies. He picks up a walkie-talkie and he's like, hey, check in, snipers. No radio silence. He's like, it's Rick Grimes, check in. Nothing. He takes the gun, climbs to the top of the tower, looks through the scope, looks at the savior's compound. No zombies. There's evidence that the truck has crashed into the compound. So there's, you know, that but there's not a single zombie in the yard, and no people either.
No, if they are, they're dead
or gone. They don't have to be dead. Like, those people might be gone.
No, the zombies, like, it was a few down there, but I don't
think. What you mean, dead zombies. Yes.
Not
sorry.
Dead people, dead zombies. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. Yes. So yeah, man, somehow they cleared the compound, and the saviors is out on these streets, guys. All right, so let's get to the main attraction, okay? Now, for those who have issues with this episode, I understand.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I forgot to ask Karen how you felt about this episode at the beginning. You know, I normally ask you, what'd you think about it?
Oh, I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Okay, yeah. For me, this episode was just okay. And I think the reason it was mostly just okay, not even the junk the cons and the redundant theme of making this nigga fuck with steampunk zombies. Like, that's, to me, I look forward to those kind of things. I hate Eugene. And so much of this episode was about this motherfucker that I hate.
It was now. It was.
And I don't find him that fucking interesting. He's very one note. He's very cowardly. And I realized what it was. I was looking at a review when I was looking up pictures for this episode artwork. I was looking at a review, and the review said, Eugene needs to stop flip-flopping and pick a side already or just die. And I realized something. He picked the side for me.
Oh, yeah, he picked the
side. It ain't been no conflict of interest. I can't even believe there's people out there that's
very consistent about, I'm protecting me and I'm a goddamn coward and that's what I'm going to do.
And we keep getting people that write in about, hopefully they can redeem Eugene because they like Eugene for some reason. I have never really liked this dude like that. I always like, he a liar. He's funny. I love his dialogue. I'm not tired of that. I could listen to that nigga talk all day. I wish he had a podcast or something. But as far as, like, his actual... as far as him being like this, will he, won't he come back to the group person? Like, I hope he die. Haven't we all decided he should die?
And I think, I think for me, I used to think he was redeemable, but now I don't think he is at all.
I guess that's the whole thing. I didn't think he was redeemable for so long.
Oh, okay.
That to me, this episode was like, well, all the choices he made, I said, of course those are the choices he would make. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because they've written the character consistently.
Yes, they have.
I've always believed when I'm Negan. You know, I've always believed that shit. And I just realized, like, oh, this may have been interesting for people who are, like, on the fence. But I just can't understand how you could be on the fence about this motherfucker. He's repulsive. He's a terrible human being. I shouldn't say that. He's, for the purposes of through the eyes of our group, he's a terrible human being.
Yeah,
you know,
but in reality, not that funny.
I know.
Eugene is what people claim that they want.
All the people that write into these shows.
Just like whatchamacallit over at the Hilltop. That's exactly the character that people keep claiming they want.
Yeah.
Go with the flow, try to be alive, put your head down, don't start no, like that's what most people said. I'm just trying to live. When in reality, most of us, A, we'll probably die. I don't know why we think all of us gonna be superheroes and them forever. That's gonna be impossible. And then B, most people won't stand up for shit that don't even require violence right now. So I know you ain't going to stand up for something when you really have to do some physical action.
Yeah. Nah, you're right. You're right, Karen. Can't even complain. Can't even say you wrong on that. But yeah, it was just, you know, he was a lot, man, this week. And it was a lot of him. I'd say of the, say, 50 so minutes of this episode, because it's an hour and 7 minutes, then you take out commercials. So say about 50 minutes was this whole episode, maybe 55.
20,
25? Eugene?
Yeah.
No, Eugene's story was a good 45 minutes. Oh, Rick's shit only took like 10 minutes in the whole show, if that.
I see what you're saying. And then the bulk of the show was about, yeah, okay, I'm with you now. Okay.
Yeah, so like.
Yeah, he wasn't on screen the whole time, but yeah, the bulk of the story was him, yes.
Yeah, so that was like a huge, I realized huge that afterwards, chunk. I was like, oh, that's a huge reason for me I was not as enamored with this episode, because I'm like, I don't like Eugene. He's such a cuck, such a terrible person. All right, let's get to the savior stuff. Eugene is brainstorming ways up in his room with a notepad with three different columns: what I know, what I don't know, and things I'm unaware of. Holy. And trying to come up with stuff, and he can't think of nothing. He throws a notepad on his bed, goes to visit Dwight in Dwight's room. And of course, we remember, Eugene had found that paint on the bag of guns. Mm-hmm. So he knew that Dwight was a traitor. So he confronts Dwight about being a traitor. He's like, look, man, I know that you're the traitor creeping and colluding with the Ock, which he called a term he coined for Alexandria, Hilltop, and the Kingdom. Said he almost went with Ka, but that was too onomatopoeic. And he says, cease and desist all betrayals and backstabbery, fronting, and Judasness ASAP. And my man, Dwight is like, look, man. Number one, okay, before we even say what Dwight said, I don't know why the fuck you tell Dwight that you know he a traitor. We've seen what he does to people that are on to him. It's a reason it's a new Dr. Carson. Old Dr. Carson got a little too close, a little too much in Dwight's business. He set him up to get killed.
Yeah, and I think, quote unquote, because Eugene got this quote unquote smart brain, he just feels like he can outsmart him. But, you know, you all dealing with somebody that don't give a fuck, it would just kill you up and keep it going. He ain't like them three women that just went on back to work.
Right. So, Eugene ends up, telling this nigga, I know you're a traitor, like a fucking fool. And Dwight says that the compound and Negan are finished. All this shit is done. We surrounded. Zombies gonna kill us. We running low on everything. The workers are angry. All you gotta do is shut the fuck up, sit back, let this play out. You'll be fine.
Do nothing.
Just don't do anything. And Eugene is basically saying the same thing back to him, which is, you don't do shit. I'm gonna save us. And fuck you. And I love this scene, because Dwight gets in his face, and you know, Dwight, half of Dwight's face is burned from where Negan scarred him for fucking Sherry. And he says, you see what happens here. You heard the scream. Smell the burning skin. He gets right in his face and let him see it. And then he says, once you get blood on your hands, it's basically no turning back. Right now, you haven't really killed anybody or anything.
Right.
But once you do, it's like, it's a wrap. You part of this place. And Eugene was like, what cranks my shaft is being safe. And talks about how he it's all about him making safe, being safe, him being there makes people more safe, because he's in charge of the defenses and all the scientific bullshit. And he said, yes, I'm Negan. It ain't perfect, but we are the saviors. We save. And then he promises to keep Dwight a secret, his traitorness being a secret, as long as he does nothing to harm anyone inside these walls, which I'm like, bit late for that, right? Dwight done been part of niggas getting killed already, all these motherfuckers getting trapped, telling them where the lieutenant's at. But I don't know if Eugene understood the depths of Dwight's betrayal. I think he really thought it was just he gave a bag of guns to them people. Nobody got killed except for the person that shot at them, and that's it. But it was kind
of
late.
Yeah, and it runs deeper than that. And it's also one of the things, too, where he brought up a good point. Eugene has never killed anybody. Like, if you go back and think, he basically had Abraham there. He basically tricked Abraham into protecting him. And he's always had somebody else around him to get shot or defend, like, something. So in his mind, he's like, oh, they'll get to all through all these people will die or something, way before they get to me.
And he knows science shit, but not the shit that he claimed. But he knows some science. I mean, he's not a dumb man in that way, but he ain't no thug either.
He ain't about that bad life.
So Eugene basically goes down and looks at the zombies banging against the door, and he asked another savior, the one with the neck tattoo that tried to holler at Spencer, what do you think? And she says a day or two before the basically the zombies break in. And later he walks down a hall and he gets called into a room where they're taking care of Gabe. It's the new Dr. Carson from Hilltop, and he says Gabe's nursing an infection. He wasn't bitten. It's definitely an infection from that Walker's shit they put on, which,
and it makes sense.
Yeah, which Negan conveniently mentioned before they put it on, as if to almost say, we about to do some different shit, y'all. Even though it appears nobody's gotten sick from that shit before that we know of. So it's a new kind of thing that they're doing with the show. And the comic, I don't even think the comic has had this happen. Mm-mm. Which, I mean, makes fucking sense. It's just not saying, it's like covering yourself in anybody's intros. Like, you could get sick, but, you know, very convenient for the show. You know, I'll give y'all that. Anyway, he's sick. Dr. Carson is like, look, we out of meds. So, I don't know how we're gonna heal your friend. And Eugene basically says, he ain't my friend, he's just a traveling companion. And Dick Carson's like, well, I mean, you live with them, that was your group before this, you don't care about them. And he's like, nope, he shouldn't have been part of the invasion, he didn't want to get sick. Which, you know, like I said, to me, I'm not surprised Eugene would say that, but I guess some people were sitting around shocked that, wow, he's so much cold. But I'm like, he always been this cold. And Dr. Carson says he's gonna go down to the where they had a little swap meet area of, I don't even know what they call it, the market.
I don't know.
I guess you could call it the market.
Yep, you might as well.
Of
the marketplace.
Yeah, he gonna go down to the Facebook marketplace.
Right.
And he's going to get some herbs for see if they got some medicinal herbs for Gabe. Which, you know, think you're gonna get some weed down there. You know what, they got weed.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
You know, show up and smoke Gabe out. But yeah, he's like, I'm gonna go get some herbs for your man. I need you to watch him. Gabe, of course, immediately wakes up when Carson's gone, but he is really sick. He's not faking it, but he's like, and conveniently wakes up, and him and Eugene have a talk. And Gabe says that how you gonna help me get Dr. Carson out, because that's what he said he came up there for. And Eugene like, man, we surrounded by walkers, unless we do the gut zombie trick that made you sick, we not gonna get out of here. So by the way, it took them 7 seasons, but they really should have put the you can get sick from walker guts thing in earlier, because I think people too often just go, well, just cover yourself in guts. And I'm like, one, it stank, ruin your clothes, everything for the day. I mean, sure, you'll be alive, but you don't look, it's gonna be terrible.
And I'm pretty sure you can't wash that odor off.
Yeah, like, imagine covering yourself in chitlins. Like, I'm not doing
basically
that.
Basically.
Just raw chitlins. But then, if they would have done the sick thing earlier, I feel like we would have had more people be like, oh, well, that's why they didn't want to take that risk. Like, you only do that when you have to. So he wakes up and he says, come on, man, you can do this. And Eugene says, no way, I'm doing that shit. And he said, you done forgot I'm a coward. I'm a small man. I'm not doing this. And Gabe says he knows that Eugene will do the right thing because of God. And Eugene, a man of science, is like, that's absurd, you know, implying like, I don't believe in God. And Gabe is like, you're a man of science, but not so long ago, you would have thought it was impossible for the dead to walk. When the right time comes, you'll act. And Eugene looks at his hand, and it's still a little bit of the, I don't know if it was supposed to be Gabriel's blood or just to steal the paint from the chest piece he touched.
One of them.
But he looked at his hand, and it was blood or some red paint on his thumb, and then it cut the commercial. And then Keenan Ivory Wayans came through and said, message! Morgan was outside to save his compound on sniper duty. Now, I don't know when this happened. Like, I'm getting confused on the timeline, because I thought Morgan, like, I don't know if Morgan just left the woods where we thought he was going after those dudes and said fuck all this shit and walk. I guess he just walked over to the savior's compound and just got on sniper duty. So
I think that's what happened. He was like, fuck the bullshit y'all doing, I'm out.
Right, yeah. So I still think things are happening in sequential order. I don't think they're fucking with the timeline. I think mm-hmm. all this shit happened about in the same time.
So he
gets a walkie-talkie message while he's overlooking the compound with his rifle.
Right, because it ain't like he don't know the plan of what everybody else was doing and where everybody else was there. He was like, I'm not going with y'all. Fuck right. that. He was like, if we ain't killing, what the fuck is we doing?
Right, so he went back to the compound, make sure they dead, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Which, shout out to the show. People always say they over-explain shit. They just had this nigga show up like, guys, you know what he is here for.
Come on.
He with the killing group. So then a truck approaches, he gets a walkie-talkie message from another sniper, and he's like, calm down, it's Daryl. And it's Daryl in that garbage truck with Michonne, Tara, and Rosita in it. Meanwhile, inside the compound, one of Negan's wives stops by Eugene's room, the same wife. When two of the wives tried to get him to kill Negan, she was one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked if he fixed a radio in exchange for a bottle of alcohol. Apparently she had already given him one bottle, and this was the second bottle to finish the transaction, but he hadn't fixed the radio because he was like, we surrounded by zombies, I ain't had time. And she was like, well, yeah, we trapped by zombies, but some of us been trapped here, Eugene. Message. Okay. She's like, I've been trapped messing with Negan, okay?
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a goddamn about them zombies.
Now fix my radio. All and right. then when she goes to leave, she said, I'll come back tomorrow. And if not, we're going to change the deal. And when she goes to leave, he asked for the second bottle anyway. And she was like, for what? And he said he basically can't sleep without drinking 1.5 ounces every night so he could sleep. And so he need the giggle juice. And she was like, you know why you can't sleep? I understand. She was like, you basically got a guilty conscience because you complicit now. You done helped Negan. You're part of the bad guys, and you need these drinks to calm your ass down every night so you can finally get a little sleep because something, you know, you're not right. And she's like, and we gave you a chance to kill Negan and you didn't take it. So yeah, right. And so she gives him the bottle, and right then another one of Negan's wives comes by and says Negan wants to talk to him. Outside, Daryl discusses crashing the truck into the building with Michonne, Tara, and Rosita, because they don't know the plan, and he's basically telling them they gonna ram the truck into the compound, making a hole for the walkers to go through. And Morgan comes down out of the tower, hears the plan, and was like, because they were like, how you gonna get the truck in without getting killed? Which makes a good point, because y'all remember when the Saviors rammed, no, was it the Wolves? The Wolves rammed Alexandria, they killed the nigga in the truck. Cause like they apparently didn't have no plans, but the Wolves ain't care about their lives.
Right.
Well, they need to provide cover fire for Daryl so he don't get sniped trying to fucking crash the truck. Cause obviously they're gonna see that truck coming from a long way away. And so Morgan says him and the other snipers will provide crossfire to keep the snipers out of the window of the compound so he can ram the truck through. And so they decide they're gonna do basically this terrorist truck attack. Rosita was not with the shits.
Mm-mm.
Now this surprised me. Speaking of surprising, she was like, we already got a plan. And Tara reminded her, well, that speaker truck they had, we didn't even know about that. That could have got the zombies going. They would have been gone by now. So we don't know. We don't want to give them more time. Let's just crush them while we have them in the building, while we know the zombies are surrounding them. And then Daryl was like, the kingdom fighters are dead anyway, so we don't have the numbers to take them out. The zombies will weaken them. We need to do the garbage truck plan. And she's like, Rick is talking to them garbage people to recruit them to take the place of the kingdom, so we'll have all these numbers. And I believe in Rick Grimes. And Daryl and them like, fine then. And Tara talks about how she could have gotten weapons from Oceanside last season, and instead she got back from Oceanside and didn't say shit for the whole fucking season to the end, when Negan and them was busting their ass, and the whole time Rick and them was like, we need guns, where we gonna get guns from? She knew where a whole cache of guns were, and she didn't say nothing until after more people got killed. So she's feeling kind of guilty because of that, which is interesting because now she wants revenge. It feels like last year she was almost shell-shocked from I can't remember her name, but her girlfriend dying. Mm-hmm. But now she's like, look, I'm out for revenge. We gonna kill this motherfucker. I think she wants to like make up for what she did last season.
Or did or didn't do.
Yeah.
I think that because you're dealing with people, everybody responds differently and everybody learns at different times. I understand Rosita's perspective. She was like, I fucking rushed, got Spencer killed. I fucking rushed, shot at Negan and it was a problem. I fucking rushed, went out there with Gabe, threatened Eugene, because I was so gung-ho. I got Sasha killed. Mm-hmm. Like, in her mind, she's like, I understand where y'all been. I'm not trying to do that, because when you do that shit, it never works out like you planned, because you're kind of going against the group and you end up making shit worse.
Yes.
So I understood her perspective on y'all can do this,
and she learned. Like, that's the thing. Like I said, when I say this group, it was an epiphany for me today. When I say that these motherfuckers are like having a Facebook group or something, it's like, because one person learned their lesson, other people got to go through the same shit, and they don't care about your lesson. They don't care about the wisdom you're imparting. And it's not, and honestly, almost like a Facebook group, I can kind of see both sides. Like, Daryl got a point. Like, fuck them up, kill them all while we got a chance, because if not, and they survive, and we realize we weren't as ruthless as we needed to be, they're going to be a problem. Like, he has a point too, you know? And Michonne was standing there after Rosita was basically like, I'm out, I ain't doing this shit. And Morgan said, you could take one of the cars from the lookout spot and back to Alexandria. She said, fine. And then she asked Michonne, like, you going? Are you going to go with me and them? And she was like, Michonne said, I'm going to stick with them. I got to see this through. This all started because of me. And I was thinking about it. When she said this all started because of me, I don't think she's talking about, like, them going out to see if Alexandria was still surrounded by zombies. I think she's talking about the entire fight back. Because last season, she was really the first person that basically told Rick, don't be no bitch. We need to fight these motherfuckers. And was shocked and surprised when Rick didn't have a fight in him, and completely were disobeying all the rules. She got guns, she learned how to shoot.
She was being like Rosita, very rebellious against the plan.
Right, but not in a disrespectful way, not in an I'm gonna go rogue in way, but she was just very much like, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I remember she even killed that one woman when she found out the way to the Savior compound and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, she was out, she was on a tear last season, and in a way she kind of did start the revolution, quote unquote, and get everybody to get on board.
Right.
Anyway, she's like, she feels some kind of way, she gonna see it through. And Rosita's like, well then I'm out, because I get it, I know what you've been through, I used to feel like that, and I wish I hadn't taken it. Sasha walking out of that coffin to make me realize that I was wrong.
Right.
So then Negan meets with Eugene, and he basically just tells Eugene, like, I believe in you, I know you, it's like a motivational speech, you're gonna solve this, you special. Between those eyes of yours and that magnificent mullet, you got a big brain, and it's gonna solve the problem. And he reaches out his hand to Eugene, who's sitting down, and Eugene goes to kiss this nigga's hand.
Like, he kissing the ring.
This show can still make me laugh.
Yeah, cause he was like, oh, I was all in. Like, when I said I was Negan, I meant that shit.
Yeah, but kissing the ring, like, they was so, such a cuck.
It was, it's what the character would do though.
Right, just such a, oh God.
And it's hilarious, cause it even made Negan laugh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it made me feel like that meeting made me feel like when Sigourney Weaver had that alien next to her face and it was sticking out this mouth at her. It reminded me of that, because I'm like, this nigga Eugene be so scared, and he was trying to fake it, like, you know, and he couldn't, and I think the whole time he just didn't know. He's scared of Negan. Negan told him basically, I'm gonna kill you. Right. I'm gonna kill you first if you can't come up with a plan to save us.
Correct.
And so in this meeting, Negan's being more nice, and he puts his hand out and he pulls it back when Regine tries to kiss him, and he's like, I was going for the handshake, what was you doing? Like, he's like, now I get why you would have been confused, because I don't do this often, but a handshake is a sign of mutual respect, and I'm shaking your hand now because I respect you. And you know, I know you're gonna solve this,
right? And he believes that Eugene is there for the cause. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he has any questions or doubt about his dedication.
Yeah, I don't think for a second that he really thinks Eugene was a traitor. The way that I think the show set us all up to think, well, obviously Eugene will be the number one suspect, but I think Negan doesn't even think for a second Eugene will be the traitor.
Nope.
At least that's the way he's putting on. Then Eugene says, after the handshake, he's like, well, there's work to be done, and he goes back to fix the radio. And I like to imagine he's kind of like Iron Man, like Tony Stark, fixing things helps him think. And he has an epiphany. He gets up, puts on a fucking light hat thing so he can see in the basement, goes to the basement, finds the coffin where Sasha came out of during the Alexandria attack, which I'm like, they took that coffin back, and also it didn't get shot up because it looked brand new. I'm like, someone done fixed the coffin up, and the iPod that she had was still in it.
Yeah, and it was basically on the back of the truck, so when they rolled away with it.
Right.
I don't think it fell off.
I just thought bullets went in that shit or something.
Yeah, I don't know that, honey, that whoever had that coffin before must have got the deluxe pack. It was like, I want the bullet repellent coffin.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't know why I thought that coffin fucking fell off, but anyway, they had it. Maybe they keep two of them. I don't know. But anyway, they had the coffin.
Maybe they had a backup when I don't know.
Yeah, they had the coffin. It's not a big deal. They had the coffin in her iPod was still in it. I also like that, he had, a flashback of it. Like, he almost couldn't look at it because he been acting so, I don't care. They're just traveling companions. They're not my friends.
But you're a human being. You're going to have some form of a conflict.
We saw him talk to Sasha. We saw him get ready to die, sacrifice his life in that RV for the crew. So we know he's full of shit with that. In as far as they're just traveling companions, I just think he's such a coward. He don't care.
Right.
So he has this epiphany and he finds the iPod. And outside, this starts happening at the same time. Morgan watches the garbage truck approach the compound, tells him to turn off the engine, or the walkers are gonna start drawing walkers from the yard. And he says, we gonna, the snipers, we gonna fire from the windows and shoot at their snipers so they can't shoot you back. And then Tara and Michonne are supposed to get out the truck, find positions with guns so they can like shoot at, to keep people from shooting at Daryl, right? Tara gets out, she's ready to roll. Michonne stays in the car for a second. And Daryl's sitting there, like with her, and you can see he's kind of like, what the fuck, like, why are you still in the truck, like, let's go.
He's seen hesitation,
right? And so Michonne is like, you know, thinking about it, and she's like, yeah, I think I want out. She basically like Trey and Boys in the Hood. Oh wait, was it Trey? GQ and Boys in the Hood, where he's like, let me out, when they was doing that last drive by. That music was playing, let me out.
And to an extent that makes sense, because her thing is, she's almost forced, well, she's not forced, her going against Rick playing would undermine their relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. That's what I was thinking, was as much as people are gonna be like, bitch, you came all this way, just do it. I'm like, I think she had that moment of, this is definitely a betrayal of everything for the group and Rick's plan. If I do this, at this point, I'm directly taking a shot at Rick. Like, it's gone.
And I'm saying, I disrespect you.
Right. I don't respect you. I fuck your plan. I felt like this is the right thing to do. And,
right, because even if the plan fails, quote unquote, we can stick with the plan, we can regroup, get together, you know, because this is kind of what this group does.
That was her word. She actually said, to him in the car when Daryl was like, why are you not gonna do this? She said, She came there so she could know that the plan was gonna work. She said, but I don't get to know that. None of us do. Which is right. None of these, all these plans are variables. People are variables. You never know what's gonna happen.
Right.
And he says, so maybe, she says, so maybe we just need to trust that things are gonna keep working because it has been. And she said, because this, what we're about to do is not worth risking us, the group. And Daryl said, it is for me. It just is. So she got out the truck, said she hoped it worked, but she can't be part of it. And then Tara was like, we still got this, Morgan and the snipers, we can do this. And Daryl starts the truck up.
Yeah, and also it's one of those things too, to where you got to think about it from a human perspective. You know, just like y'all fighting for what y'all stand for, they fighting for what they stand for too.
Oh, you talking about the saviors?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all the saviors aren't evil, but you know, the back, you know, the people at the top and Negan definitely have done some evil shit. But yeah, they're not. I mean, the thing for me it's just that we know at this point you're killing these shopkeeping motherfuckers and these.
And I think that hit her too. Going, yeah. These are just regular. They're not fighters. You know what I mean? She was like, just don't feel right.
And it's a violation of the plan they already agreed to.
Right.
Anyway, Dwight says, "Fuck that shit." Daryl says fuck that shit, and mm-hmm. Yeah. Michonne is the one that ends up leaving and
makes sense. I hope she got her with Rosita before she cranked up and got too far away,
right? But yeah, so they get we go to Eugene, who is now on the roof, and he's keeping a scientific audio log of his new project he's working on, which might as well just be him talking directly to the camera.
And he got one of them old, I've had this tape deck player. They got like 4 or 5 buttons on it and a big red one in play. You have to press them at the same time to record playing the tape. Yes. Oh, I remember them fuckers.
Right.
They were terrible. And they actually did a really bad job compared to technology today, but they did serve the purpose.
So then while he's talking about his project, it's basically a glider with the speaker from the radio that he was supposed to fix attached to an iPod that was Sasha's iPod, and he's going to use the glider to make music noise or whatever and guide the fucking zombies away from the compound. Now, look, this is that Walking Dead science shit.
Cause
I don't think this, like, the zombies were already way louder than the fucking radio. It was a little tiny ass speaker too.
There's no way they would have heard it.
Yeah, it just made no fucking sense to me. But whatever, you know, in this world of, you know, and I guess maybe it just would have taken a long time the way it took Glenn when that bottle rolled. And they have introduced this on the show before, so it's totally plausible, but mm-hmm. It just felt like, nigga, this would not work.
And I guess they're gonna be renegotiating that plan.
Right. So, he gets ready to fly the glider off of the roof, and Dwight shows up with a gun, and he basically says, I'm gonna kill you if you fly that glider off. And Eugene was like, I'm attempting to save innocent people, and killing me is you killing a bunch of innocent people right now. And Dwight says, well, if you accomplish this plan, Negan gonna go free, then he gonna kill a bunch of your friends. And Eugene says, there were nothing more than my traveling companions. And Eugene says to Dwight, Negan ain't the dying type, so we know he gonna survive no matter what, which is something that he told Eugene earlier in that meeting. He was like, I'm gonna live no matter what, but you can save these people. Dwight puts the gun closer to his head and goes, oh, but you are, Eugene, the dying type. And Eugene makes the most gangster coward speech of all time about how basically, if you gonna kill me, then you just gonna have to kill me. I'm flying this damn thing off the roof. And he hits the button to start the iPod and flies it off, and it's the most gangster kite flying since Charlie Brown and that tree to 8 kites.
Come on.
And Dwight, of course, shoots the kite down because he got a gun. like, he didn't have to kill Eugene after all. And Daryl, at the same time, drives the truck into the compound right as Dwight is shooting that kite down. And Daryl drives the truck into the compound, puts a cinder block on the gas pedal, hops out. Everybody's shooting at the savior so they can't shoot him. The truck like jams into the wall, creates a bit of a hole. Zombies are able to squeeze in on the side of the hole. So now you got all these fucking zombies piling into the savior compound on the bottom floor where the market is. People getting eaten, motherfuckers shooting the zombies. They run up the stairs. Dwight and Eugene run from the down from the roof, and they're at the top of the stairs looking at the chaos, and Eugene's face is just like full of terror and horror, and then it switches to anger and rage. And people was looking mad scared. They ran up the stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, basically, a pile up of zombies happened so that the zombies can no longer get up the stairs because they're getting stuck on each other's bodies, which, you know, Walking Dead convenient zombie shit.
Of course.
You know, sometimes the niggas can climb stairs when they need them to. Sometimes zombies just can't get right. You guys know how it is. But then one of my favorite scenes happens. Eugene goes and finds Gabe, who's sick in his bed and in the hospital.
I mean, he's just trying to get in bed rest.
And goes full Make America Great Again on this nigga. Y'all have to hear this.
You know he voted for Trump.
Yeah, I can only play this.
The answer is no. I will never not on your nail and be on board with your plan. Your invite is declined. I will not end up like Sasha or you. You both made your choices, what I imagine most would calculate is the right thing. Rolled your D20s and came up dead, seemingly soon to be. I cannot do the same. Now judge me if you choose. But I'm seeing 20 for 20. I'm feeling 10 for 10. I'm receiving 5 by 5. Staying safe means staying alive. And I'm A-okay with doing whatever it takes to lock that down. So I will obey Negan. I will not cover for anyone's U-turn and loyalties. And I will damn well make sure that Dr. Carson stays cozy comfy right here. In case I ever require healing expertise. And I won't feel bad about it. Because I will survive. It's in my biological imperative. It's all I know how to do.
And he left, leaving Gabe to be like, nigga, I was asleep. What happened? What? I was just trying to catch some Z's.
Right? The nurse just came in. What, dog?
My organs is failing up in here, and I don't have
you
time for this.
You woke me up for this bullshit?
Right. So then, after that scene, Eugene goes to a meeting with Negan by themselves and says he has a new plan to freedom. It's going to require, apparently, a lot of gunfire. And Negan says, well, you going to be able to refill my bullets? Because you my bullet maker too, Eugene. And
that's why you got stolen in the first place.
Right. And Eugene said, yeah, I can make more bullets for you. They don't say what the plan is exactly, but it's going to get them free. And they can make more bullets and everything. And so Negan says, well, you know, once you get me out of here, I'm going to bring a shitstorm down on Rick and them the same way they brought a shitstorm down on me. You okay with that? And Eugene's like, I'm cool with that. Like, they made their bed, they got a lie in it. And he also says that he has some more information that's even bigger than the plan to get them free of the compound. And Negan's like, bigger than that? Like, what the hell is this, Eugene? I gotta hear this. And before he can say it, Dwight and a couple other of the saviors bust in the room to give an update on, like, we stopped them at the stairs. The walkers had the bottom of the stairs, but we got the top. Everybody's okay at the top, da da da. And Negan's like, well, that's good, because Eugene was just about to tell me some big news about something, and he came up with that's gonna top even his plan to get us to safety. What is it? And Eugene was like, he looks at Dwight and then goes, yeah, it's I'm gonna fix the intercom system. And Negan's like, that's it? And Eugene's like, yeah, that cranks my shaft, and then walks out. Back in Eugene's room, he drinks some more because he's clearly feeling guilty about the choices he's made, even though he's told Gabe he don't feel bad and all this shit. He clearly lying.
Yeah, it's internal struggle.
And I'm assuming this why y'all you know, I say y'all, but why other people feel he's some on the fence or redeemable, because he does feel bad about this shit. But to me, I'm like, to me this is even worse. He know it's wrong and he just keep doing the wrong shit. I can't support somebody like that. So he drinks some of that alcohol, spits it up in the sink. He basically looked like all black people on election night last year, just drunk by himself.
I'm trying to tell you, turning the bottle up,
spitting into the sink, throwing up alcohol, drinking more. And that's pretty much the end of that scene, that his arc. And of course, remember, in actual showtime, this is when they show Rick coming up to the compound and seeing it's empty. He sees the truck has crashed there. So it's not like some huge time skip. Like, something happened where Eugene, like, however long Rick was in that savior facility, which didn't seem like that long, the saviors have gotten out of that compound, or at least cleared the zombies out, before Rick can even get there with the garbage people. All right, let's get to y'all's feedback, because a lot of y'all wrote in this week. Karen, I gotta ask, what are you looking forward to next week?
Ricky and the Garbage Pail Kids are gonna have to deal with, because obviously it looks like they're gonna be shot at. What's gonna happen at like Alexandria and Hilltop in the Kingdom, because you know they're still continue to going on, you know, moving on. And you know, and what's even bigger, what Rick gonna do when he realized that his people fucked his plan up?
Woo!
Because he's not gonna be too happy, because he was like, I told you to follow the motherfucking plan.
Somebody getting a whooping. Well, they said it's supposed to have a shocking ending or something. We'll be in Seattle, so I don't know how we gonna watch it. We're gonna have to hopefully nobody will hop on Twitter and spoil it for us. I hope y'all
don't
really,
don't add us.
Yeah, I hope y'all aren't gonna be like that, knowing that we won't be able to see it. We'll have to watch it after everybody else when we get back.
Yeah, because we on the other time zone.
Yeah, it'll be 3 hours behind everybody, unless I don't know how Nina and them watch it. And even I think it'll be 6 o'clock there, so we'll still be doing shit. I'm looking forward to what happens with Rick and the crew, for sure. Like how he's going to handle it, how he's going to end up feeling about this betrayal, because obviously the plan is fucked up. I want to see how the saviors got out and if it was directly due to Daryl and them being too much, because if it's attributable to Daryl's plan, it's gonna really be a problem within the group. Like, you think Rick was mad at Daryl before? Nigga, someone gonna have to die.
Specifically when he told you don't do that bullshit, and the first day I was falling out and over there good old boy fist fighting over that bullshit, dog.
Yeah, I also wonder what the garbage people gonna do now that they've seen that the zombies are gone, the saviors are still alive. You know, this goes,
they not gonna turn again, because you know they ain't faithful.
Yeah, this one was from a show of strength by Rick to like a show of weakness almost. So, all right, let's get into y'all's feedback. Sarah writes in, hey Karen and Rhett. Wow, really? Not even gonna try, Sarah. Cool, that's cool. I'm so excited about the new character Sadiq. I don't read, oh, she sent this last week. Okay, but we got it late. I don't read the comics and I don't care to know who he is in the comics. He's not in there. I'm not even so excited because he's a new brown character. I'm a liar. I'm so excited for a brown man, guys. I'm excited because I can't watch the show without talking about reclaiming the world and giving mercy, death to walkers. Sadiq's mom was exactly my thoughts in my head. On the dead. Minus all the soul shit. Those were human beings, and leaving them in the state can just come around to bite you in the ass. I get annoyed how they just leave walkers to just wander around the woods. Please give them mercy. I understand that's not possible, but as is definitely made clear, especially this season, having hordes of walkers just walking around is detrimental to humanity, and they can be weaponized against you. I know you can also use them as a resource, but fuck that. Too risky. I'm so annoyed when I watch this with my boyfriend, because I literally try not to say this every episode. I love the idea of Sadiq coming in to clean up the neighborhood, women of color having the best interests of everybody in the community once again. By the way, that's colonial as fuck mentality, right? Is my Becky showing manifest destiny? Damn it, Jesus, nobody loves turnips, but you have to fucking cook them. That was a waste of a perfectly good turnip that pregnant people might need later. Yeah, he just gave them niggas raw turnips. Have you guys listened to the podcast We're Alive?
I have.
And then she goes on to describe what the podcast is. It's basically a zombie podcast. There's an action scenes and all.
It is excellent. I think that that particular piece, We're Alive, that series is finished. And then they kind of did like an offshoot of it. Mm-hmm. But that is an excellent. I listened to it years ago, and it's still on out there on whatever your podcast catcher is. And if you ever get a chance, this is from the beginning. It's audio play, like kind of like similar to what Dexter does. And the sound quality, everything is excellent. And it's about zombies too, but it kind of takes it. It's a little different than The Walking Dead. And I loved it. Like, all the characters were great and wonderful to watch. And it's actually really, really popular.
And it's also on Spotify.
It is? Okay.
Just like the Blackout Tips.
Yes, sir.
Now on Spotify.
And go out and listen to it. It's a long series, mm-hmm. but when I tell you, it's almost like Netflix. You'll get it and you'll just start binging. You'll just start binging and knocking them out. It's a really, really, really good series to listen to.
She says, the only problem is that all the white men sound the same to me, but that's my real life, too, so I don't hold it against them. The story has finished 3 years ago. At this point, it's fantastic. I've been listening to TBGWT a few years and don't remember you mentioning it. Walking Dead fans will love this podcast. I'm not affiliated with it or anything. Just thought I'd pass the info on to fellow podcast addicts. We're Alive. Check it out. Love you guys. Sarah Kubecki. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. And like she said, it is excellent. So if you're looking for audio, it's almost like an audio book. And it is a really, really, really fun ride.
EVE says, Dear Rod and Karen, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Oh, so now Rosita wants to stick to the plan after she got people killed? Gee, how big of her? Fuck off. Eat shit and die, Eugene. EVE. I understand that.
Short and tell them how you feel if you're short and sweet.
I agree with everything she said. Dune Dragon says, TBGWT, Ghetto Geek on Fleek. Hi, Karen, Rod, and potential guests. The episode's name should have been either Linguistics because of Eugene and the Junkticons, or How Time Flies When You Are Naked in a Shipping Container. I said it, Rod. I told you this season opener that the scenes apart from Old Man Rick and Rick by the stained glass were not in order. I bet that even Eugene's attempt to model plan the iPod rig was not at the same time Daryl Morgan and the rest of the busted sanctuary wild garbage truck. It's not the if not for the previous episode that had everyone sending everyone letters updating each other, I would believe many of the events so far were not shown in sequence. Well, I hate to argue with you, Dune Dragon, but I'm gonna be honest, I don't agree.
Yeah,
I think that was the order that it happened in. I'm not saying the flashbacks of Rick were in order, but I think that this episode we watched, I can't see how it wouldn't be in order, because you gotta looking at the episode, okay? So, cause I've been thinking about this. So Eugene, came up with the plan to fly the kite thing, right? It got shot down. Then, he goes back and talks to Negan about the plan to get everybody out of there. The zombies have filled up the bottom portion of the compound when that happened, and we know that happened at the same time because the savior lieutenants busted into that meeting and said the zombies are at the bottom of the stairs, which means that the plan happened at the same time. So that much we know all happened at the same time. Now the thing we don't really know is how much time passed between Rick and the Junkticons getting to the compound.
Right.
We know that also happened after the truck hit, because he saw the truck from the tower.
Yes, he did.
No, so I think it was in order, but there's a part where we just don't know how long passed between the truck hitting and whatever happened to the snipers and Rick getting there. We don't know what happened.
Right, so we don't know if everybody just left after the truck went in there. Like, we don't know, there may have been a battle. Like, we don't know what may have happened.
Mm-hmm. She also goes on, I'm not the type to be looking for plot holes, but I still don't know why Negan has to torture Gabe to find out who the snitch is.
Gabe?
Yeah, would Gabe know?
Uh-huh.
But you're right. You know, Negan likes playing with his food. That's all I can think of. Negan don't really torture people that way. He just wants your loyalty and shit. The other thing I would throw in there too, the show has all kinds of crazy shit. Somebody would have just shot Rick in that Junkticon fight. Like, they could have just shot him and killed him and got him off of Jadis, and that would have been the end of the series. Like, you know, the show just do what it want to do. Keeping it short, most likely will chip in on the for the feedback show. Great podcast as usual. In Morgan voice, Karen, Rod, I know I might not be right, but I know I'm not wrong when I say TBGWT is the bee's knees. Have a good one, Dune Dragon. Thank you, Dune Dragon.
Thank you. I think.
Sorry to disagree with your idea. I'm sorry.
I know. I don't agree either. But yeah, it's one of those things where Morgan was like, "Dale, we're gonna crash this truck, and you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go back to the past."
And now I'm out.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening live. This is a short one, man. This recap didn't take long at all. It's very straightforward.
Very straightforward.
We'll be back. Well, for most of y'all, we'll be back next week sometime. Maybe we take the rest of the week off. I don't know.
Yeah, because
we'll be back when we get back.
Because we're going to be gone for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll try to recap The Walking Dead at some point next week. Mm-hmm. So y'all will definitely get that show. But other than that, man, we'll be back when we get back. You know, we're going to be traveling. I don't know what jet lag is like. I don't know how you prepare for that.
Yeah, because I've heard people talk about it. You know, the time zone change, and, you know, it takes a few days. And when you get adjusted, by the time you get adjusted, it'll be time to come back here. So we'll see.
Yeah, so we'll see what's going on with all that stuff, man. So we'll definitely do a feedback show. Probably not this Saturday, but either next week or next Saturday. So get your 5-star reviews in. We still want those.
Still want them.
And like I said, we'll talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.